This is one of those topics when you start thinking it through, you're meeting with people, you're counseling people who are manipulative. They try to manipulate you, each other. And then the more you look into the topic of manipulation, you see it's just selfishness on steroids. And then you go, oh, I'm seeing some of this with me and my relationships. And it is just dealing with selfishness and then thankful for God's grace and love and forgiveness. Wayne Mack, in his book Maximum Impact, if you haven't read that, that was one of the books that he says has probably worked him over more than any other book that he's written on the subject of love and selfishness, because it does get right at the core of our relationships. But I'd like to open in prayer, and then we'll begin. Father, thank you for this time today. We would ask that your Spirit enable all of us who are tired, who just ate. This is such an important topic in your Word on increasing and growing in our faith and love, that you would help me to communicate well and humbly, that each of the persons here, brothers and sisters, would receive it, meditate on it, and continue to be a doer of your Word. Bless this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just recently, a Fox News put an article together on our generation today of deluded narcissists. And I started reading this, and I thought, you know, it has struck me when I look at Facebook. And I don't spend a lot of time on there at all, rarely. But when I do, on some of the people who are my friends, I'm waiting for something important. I'm reading and it goes, went out for my run. I don't get it. I don't say to my wife, Sandra, you won't believe this. You remember Jim? Yeah, he went out for a run. An hour later, honey, you're not going to believe this. He got back. When I read this, I thought, boy, it really is. It is the look at me generation. The look at me generation. And it talks all about college students are more likely than ever to call themselves gifted, driven to succeed, even though their scores and time spent studying are decreasing. Again, with Facebook, Twitter, and all of the other mechanisms that are available today, it's all look at me. Again, it's selfishness is just growing and growing. When we think about the day in which we live, I mean, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this is just all in the intro, just familiar passage to all of us. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, understand this, that in the last days, difficult times of difficulty, people will be lovers of self. And that just starts it. Lovers of self, and you think, well, they've always been lovers of self, right? Ever since the fall of man, man has been lover of themselves. But it's increasing. That's the point of that passage. It's getting from bad to worse. Reminds me of a couple that came in for counseling. So a few years back, and they had an inability to resolve a major conflict in their marriage. And Joe begins by saying, God's leading us to move to another state for a job change, but Susan's unwilling to follow me. Now I know that Ephesians 5 says, I'm the head and Susan's supposed to submit to me, right? Now that's manipulation. He's trying to manipulate me to get in his corner. Susan interrupts. Joe doesn't have to move. He just wants a job change that's close to his relatives, but we're settled here. The kids don't want to go anywhere. They have their friends, I have my church friends. He makes so many foolish decisions without my input and expects me to reap the tragic consequences. So she's even trying to do a little bit of manipulation, throw the kids in there and church friends. She continues, I know that Ephesians 5 says he is supposed to love me like Christ loves the church, right? Somewhere, I believe, it says that he is supposed to live with me in an understanding way. Well, I've had it. Enough is enough. Joe replies, I'm going. And if she doesn't follow me, her God-ordained head, then I guess you all at the church will just have to church discipline her like Matthew 18 says to do. Oh, whoa. Now they both stop talking and are now looking at you to say something. But by the way, Joe has been getting very angry lately, stockpiling weapons, not just because it's hard to find, you know, certain weapons, but he's stockpiling weapons, and it literally starts to push Susan around when he gets angry. And so, whoa, this is to another degree. But this whole issue of manipulation, sometimes we counsel people like this. Sometimes we have family members like this who try to manipulate. Some are married to individuals like this. Some we have children like this who they're selfish, but it goes up a degree. And they start getting manipulative, and it can move into very abusive relationships. It's just selfishness taken to a whole nother level of manipulation. D.A. Carson, when he was writing about selfishness, he says this, our self-centeredness is deep. It is brutally idolatrous, that it tries to domesticate God Himself. In our desperate folly, we act as if we can outsmart God, as if He owes us explanations, as if we are wise and self-determining while He exists only to meet our needs. So we will seek to domesticate God, to serve ourselves, and we'll use other people, and it just escalates. And we're going to see, you can popularize manipulation. Get into some of the different popular books today, and I'll mention that later. So we're looking here at the origin and progression of selfishness, and that's the fall. The fall of man in Genesis 3 started that with Adam, and then it has just progressed even to what I just read in 2 Timothy 3, the latter seasons when selfishness, and I'm using the expression, like goes on steroids. It's more and more that way. Now, a definition of selfishness, but you just kind of look at this definition, where it's a concerned excessively or exclusively with oneself, seeking or concentrating on one's own advantage, pleasure, or well-being without regard for other people. You're not thinking of God or other people with selfishness. It's all about you. Welcome to my world. But then you move up a notch with manipulation. Now you're going to seek to control or play upon, and these words, I don't know what they do to you, but when I read them, I thought, it is what it is. It's artful. It is unfair and insidious. It becomes very skilled at manipulation, especially to one's own advantage. To change by artful or unfair means so as to serve one's purpose. You'll work people in a very skilled manner to get what you want. It's one thing to just sort of live by yourself and about yourself. That's just real selfishness. But then when you're around people and you want to be all about you, you start using people to get what you want. And that gets into the form of manipulating people. And a synonym for manipulation, I think you have this in your notes, exploit. And I'd put next to that a con artist. Because that's really what you are. I mean, I don't say you, but that's what people are when they're manipulative. They're like con artists. They're very skilled. And when you get into the area of manipulation, there was a popular book written a few years ago called In Sheep's Clothing. Little paperback book written by a psychologist, George Simon, Jr. And in it, he talks about this, but it's in a whole different light than what we would think. His observations of manipulators and those who are knowingly manipulated –